Hi, this is Daniel Garber, the movies for CulturalMining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. What's it like to live in a group home for troubled youth? Is it a refuge for people facing violence, abuse, and addiction in the outside world? Or is it a place where people are exposed to these harsh realities? And are the staff as troubled as their charges? Well, a new movie called Short Term 12 follows two staff members, Grace and Mason, as well as two patients, Jaden, a troubled girl who just arrived and doesn't want to be there, and Marcus, a depressed kid on the verge of 18 who doesn't want to leave. It's a drama that's moving, informative, and surprising, and one that seems very real, realistic. Short Term 12 is premiering at Toronto's Rendezvous with Madness Film Festival and will be released here on November 15th. And it's written and directed by Destin Credin, and I'm very pleased to have the director here on the phone to tell us more about this film. Hi, Destin.
Hi, Daniel. Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks for letting me call you. So this film sounds like it came from personal experience. What's your personal connection to all this?
The story is inspired by my first job out of college, which was working in a group home for at-risk teenagers in California. And it was a job that I honestly kind of stumbled into. At the time, I was looking for any job that would take me, and nobody was really hiring. And this was the one place that I interviewed for that gave me any kind of income. So I walked into it with not necessarily the most noble of intentions. I was just trying to survive and get a paycheck. But it quickly, over the course of the 2 years working there, that environment and learning about the youth there and having my eyes open to all of the things that they had been through their life, it was all that whole experience became one of the most life-changing things that I've ever gone through. So it was a very, very growing period for me.
Sounds grilling and grueling. So you tell the story from the point of view of Grace, played by Brie Larson, not her boyfriend Mason, played by John Gallagher. How come you chose to tell it from her point of view, the female protagonist?
I actually, when I began writing the feature, the feature is loosely based on a short film that I did back in 2009 for my graduate thesis film. And that short film followed a male supervisor. But for the feature, a lot of the initial inspiration to follow a female supervisor was really just the challenge of it, because I'd never written from a female perspective before. But also my both of the supervisors that I had were young female supervisors, and they were incredibly, incredibly good at their jobs. And it was both inspiring and just interesting to watch them really take charge of this floor full of, very intense personalities and strong teenagers, both male and female, and to watch these female supervisors who I became friends with take charge of that was something that was very intriguing to me. And so that was the initial inspiration for it.
And how about the patients in the movie? Were they all actors, or are some of them real people? I don't mean actors aren't real people, but the people like the ones they played.
Everybody in the movie, they are actors. And some of the actors in the movie are first-time actors in a feature film. Keith Stanfield, who plays Marcus, he came and auditioned for the short film in 2009, and it was his first time ever acting, and he was just kind of blew everybody away with how authentic and truthful his performances were. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that he wasn't yet corrupted in a sense by Hollywood and things, and feeling a need to really, really perform or show off.
Well, this
was his first feature film. Short Term 12.
It really shows in the movie. He seems like he's not someone playing a role. One of the scenes that affected me the most in the movie was his personal rhyme, his rap, when he tells his own backstory. Did he write that himself, or did you write that and give it to him? Or
Keith and I have like an ongoing debate over who wrote what in that rap. But I wrote a first draft of it and then sent it to Keith, and Keith is actually much better at writing that those types of lyrics than I am, and he made it much cooler than my initial draft.
It was amazing. I couldn't believe that wasn't someone telling his own story.
I'll make sure to tell Keith. Yeah, so, I mean, Keith also, he's a musician outside of being an actor, and he's coming out with a new album right now. If you Google him, you can see his new music video.
And Jaden is the young female character who's sort of angry and depressed but artistic. So tell me more about where you came up with this multi-dimensional character.
Jaden is, in a lot of ways, modeled. The character blossomed out of the character of Grace. Jaden is the Jaden character is meant to be somewhat of a reflection of Grace, and in a lot of ways they're the exact same person, but just at different stages of their life. And so when the idea behind every character in the movie and every scenario in the movie is that everything that we see, every scene in the movie is doing something to Grace, our main character. And when Jaden comes in, she becomes this the ultimate reflection to Grace in forcing her to finally deal with things in her own past that she's been avoiding. So it's the relationship between Grace and Jaden is a very interesting one, where the roles constantly flip. You know, someone's the caretaker, and the other person is, you know, the one who's learning something. But then it keeps flipping. Sometimes it's Jaden who is the one who's doing the caretaking, and Grace is the one who's learning something from her. So it's a very complicated and interesting relationship.
So most movies I've seen, when they deal with social issues or institutional living situations, group homes, foster parents, it's always the villain, something people have to struggle against and survive through. The heroes survive despite this institution they're at. But you give it a very different spin. You say mainly the alternate families could be better than the ones they leave. So what brought you to this feeling? What brought you to this story?
Everything in this movie is inspired by either my own experience or the interviews that I conducted with other people who have worked in places similar to this for much longer than I did. And every story that I heard from all these different people were all very different, but the one constant was that it is, you know, it's not all bad. It's also not all good. There's, in any system, there's a lot of room for improvement. I don't think anybody would argue that in our country, and I think in any country, we can always improve in how we treat and take care of our youth. But this movie is about showing a group of characters who don't have a traditional family, but seeing how they create that family despite all of the things that are working against them, and that's the heart of this story, and I think that's why it can be very relatable to anybody, whether or not they know anything about the foster care system or not. I think the themes in the movie are really just about finding a way to love yourself and finding a way to walk through difficult times by holding the hand of good people who are around you.
Mason's a character who lives through a foster home, even though he's one of the supervisors or staff members. And yet it's portrayed in a very positive way. Do you have personal experience with that?
There's like anything in this world, there are wonderful examples of the system working. In almost every case, when I hear a story of a former foster youth coming and telling me that they actually were at the lowest point in their lives when they were in their mid-teens, and something turned their life around. Something showed them a different way, and it's never the system working. It's always one person working who happens to be a part of that system. One genuine person coming into their lives at a point when they needed that support and love the most, and showing them that they are worthy to be loved. And most of those stories that I've heard, all those people can pinpoint the exact time when and the exact person who came into their life and made them feel loved. And that's what the Mason storyline is about. You know, when that is revealed, he talks about the moment that these wonderful foster parents came into his life and showed him that he's a worthy, worthwhile human being.
And the movie's called Short Term 12. I saw the movie. I still don't exactly understand the title.
You're not alone.
What does it mean? So short term, I guess, because most of the patients or people there only for a short period of time, but the 12?
Yeah, I mean, the title, at the base of it, the title is really, it's just the name of the clinical term used for many foster care facilities throughout California. And there are long-term facilities, there are short-term 14 facilities, there are short-term 10 facilities, and basically there are short-term, long-term facilities, and the number refers to the level of care needed for the children.
And is 12 very high level or low level or medium level?
12 is 12 is one step away from either juvenile hall or a psychiatric ward.
Interesting. And yeah. You made this first as a short film. What made you make it into a feature? A very good feature, I must say. But what made you think, I'm going to take this short film and expand it?
Well, I made the short film, and I had no plans of taking it anywhere beyond that. It was just my thesis project in film school, and I just wanted to graduate. And I was surprised, extremely surprised, when the movie got accepted into Sundance. And then I almost lost my mind when we won the jury prize there that year in 2009. And then I was lucky enough to be able to take that short around to other film festivals and see how audiences reacted to it. And what surprised me was how universal a lot of the themes were in the short. And I didn't expect that. People who didn't know anything about this system, I didn't expect them to be able to connect with it as much as they did. So that was kind of my first initial inspiration to wanting to explore the world even further.
And what about moving it on to a TV series? I think it would work. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm 100% with you. We're that actually is something that we're exploring. We're in the early stages of exploring, because the truth is, even with this feature, like the amount of stories that are moving and touching and hilarious and inspiring and devastating connected to this world are endless. The well is just endless. And I do think that it is a topic that at least our country, I think, is ready to talk about more. And I hope to continue to contribute to that conversation.
Well, I can't wait to see more. So thanks, Dustin. Thanks for talking with me.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me.
I've been talking with Dustin Cretton about his new film Short Term 12 that's playing at Rendezvous with Madness and is opening in Toronto on November 15th. This is Daniel Garber of the Movies for CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturalmining.com.